we have a gardening call-in show that you can give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723 with your gardening questions. We are today specifically focusing in on garden invaders. And joining me this morning from the Ketchikan Garden Club, we have Lee Skidmore and Rebecca Jackson. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. And I have instructed them they need to wear headphones or they won't be able to hear the callers. So we didn't do a sound check. Are your headphones a good level or do you need them louder or softer?
I think they're great.
All right. Fabulous. Great. So if you call in with your questions, again, 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723, we'll do our best to answer your questions, or they will. So Lee, talk about invaders. What are some of our garden invaders? What does that mean?
Well, in getting ready to come this morning, I divided invaders into two parts, where we would have animals, slugs, and insects, and then the other side we would have plants. And they come in every color, size, whatever. So anyway, if we start with some invasive plants, Ketchikan is starting to have a major problem with some of the weeds. And those would be the tansy, which are the yellow flowers you see along the highways, Japanese knotweed, which they call false bamboo, orange hawkweed that is everywhere, yellow loosestrife in some of our waterways, and then there are several others. And you can go to different websites, to the library, to the U.S. Forest Service, to the Extension Office, to get information where you can get pictures so you can see what they look like and the newest information on how to get rid of them.
Part of the problem with these invasives is they're very attractive. Some of them are very pretty, and I know someone who has an entire yard of that, was it orange hawkweed?
Yes.
It's called? That it is. It's kind of a pretty flower, and like, oh, look at that. But people don't maybe realize what invasives are and what they can do, and they can take over.
They really can. And I brought orange hawkweed into my yard 22 years ago because I thought it was gorgeous. And now it is a struggle to get rid of it or to keep it under control.
And part of it too is, I mean, it's not only yet to the tansy ragwort, the various others, they kind of, unless someone actively tries to remove them, they're going to keep spreading. And so many of them are in public places.
Yes, that's very true.
But if you get them in your own garden, at least you can do something to help trim those back. And the reason, part of it is because they aren't native species, but isn't also part of it, they just take over. They're so aggressive.
There are no natural predators or enemies for the invaders because they're not native. And so it's like they have free reign. So, yeah. And best thing to do is when you see it in your own yard, especially, pull it out immediately.
So you said there are no enemies of them. So are there local plants that could be considered, quote, invaders, but there's some bugs or other things that keep them in check, or diseases or things?
Yes, I do. And I couldn't name that, but most everything has some kind of a natural predator. I was reading yesterday about a slug predatory beetle that it's in England, and they're collecting the larva, drying it, grinding it, and sprinkling it around plants to keep the slugs away because they won't cross the odor of this predator.
What about dandelions? They're a challenge to get rid of.
They're a challenge, but I don't know that we consider them invaders.
Okay.
And
Just a irritating weed.
You can dig them up. You can use a pesticide. You can spray vinegar or ammonia, and that helps. If you keep that seed head broken off before it goes to seed, that helps. So it's one of those plants that you need to get the root or it will come back.
Okay. And then you talked about animal invaders and bugs and things like that. Do you have any other comments about plant invaders?
Well, get information and get rid of the problem as soon as you can. Don't wait. And, you know, work with your neighbors to keep what they have that you don't want in your yard out. So.
And so maybe it's you see something in your yard, you go, I don't know what that is, but it's pretty. Look online, get some information. As you mentioned, I know the Forest Service used to have, identification cards. I don't know if they still have
those
available.
They still do.
Which are great. They're handy field books. Yeah.
Yes, and they're available at the Discovery Center. And the library has books. The bookstore has books. And you can, or you can take it to somebody, and they can probably help you figure out what it is and whether or not you want to keep it.
Okay. All right. Again, this is a call-in show. If you have questions, give us a call at 225-9655. 1-800-557-5723. We are doing our fundraising drive right now, but you can call in just with a question. You do not have to pledge your financial support. But if you'd like to, certainly we would love that as well. So going on to some of our other invaders, I'm interested in the bug aspect of it, because sometimes there are good bugs and bad bugs, I guess. So how do I know which is which?
Well, the bad bugs are the ones that eat your plants, like slugs and aphids. At least that's what I would consider. And there are, you know, ways to prevent those. You know, if you have aphids on your plants, you can use a strong stream of water to wash them off. You can wipe them off with your hands. Insecticidal soap is good. That helps. You know, you need to be out looking at your garden, figuring out what's new, what's different, what's a problem. And it needs to be almost an everyday walk around and peruse and see what's going on.
It can't be a lazy gardener.
You can enjoy your garden, but if you want it to continue to perform, you have to take care of it.
And sometimes in the soil, there are these, I don't know if they're grubs, I don't know if they're white, like white.
Yes, there are.
What are those?
Is that what, as far as I know, they're grubs. I do not know what they turn into. Do you?
I don't know.
And are they good or bad? I mean, do they eat stuff? I don't know. That's one of those ones, like, we were wondering, is this bad and we should get rid of it?
Or? There aren't very many, so I'm not thinking it can be really bad. I know sometimes we have, like, beet weevils, but I don't know about those white fat grubs that we find.
Okay.
I just toss them.
I know the brown ones are crane fly larvae, and they will eat the roots of whatever is planted there. So you do want to get rid of the little brown ones.
And are they, how big are they? Like, those white ones are pretty big. Mm-hmm. So are the brown ones that big?
A little less than an inch long.
Okay. And are they grub-like, or do they have legs? Okay.
They look very grubby.
They're just, which is kind of like a blob. I mean, they're just sort of a blobby blobby thing, segmented blob-like thing. That is or slightly. And then, of course, we have
the infamous slug.
Oh, the slug, which is one of the most popular questions of how do you get rid of slugs. And everyone has kind of their own methods that they live by. What are ones that you find work for you?
Well, I do use chemical slug bait. I do go out and pick them up. I carry a bag of table salt, and I pick them up and drop them in there. And they just turn into liquid slime, and then you can dispose of that however you do. I read in Guinness Book of World Records that they travel at 1.1 miles per hour. So you can't just toss them, because they come back.
Travel at 1.1 miles per hour?
That's what I read, yeah. And, I mean, they don't drown in regular water, but you can, you know, put out beer or molasses and yeast, and they crawl in there and drown. And people are coming up with all kinds of ways. I mean, I was talking to a person yesterday or the day before that lays cardboard out in their garden. And then in the morning, they go out and lift the cardboard and collect all the slugs that are under there. Time-consuming, not very pretty, but effective, or they wouldn't keep doing it. You know, other people carry picks or whatever and stab them. And I mean, slugs are just absolutely gross.
And they're prevalent in our moist climate.
They are. And I think if you keep the soil kind of fluffed so that it dries out better, that they don't like to be on that. The dry soil, coffee grounds, eggshells, diatomaceous earth, citrus peel will call them to that area, then you can pick them up. Like I said, this predatory beetle ground stuff. And some plants are naturally slug pushing them away. Like if you mix dried mint leaves in your soil, or chives, or garlic, or foxglove leaves, that slugs don't like those very much, so they stay away. I don't think there's any absolute way to get rid of every slug in your yard. And we do need them, because they eat stuff and then make compost. So I don't know. Slugs are interesting.
And what about, don't people use copper or something?
Copper, yes. Copper sheeting. Seaweed is another good one.
You just kind of encircle your garden or something?
A lot of people completely cover their garden in the winter with seaweed. They keep it away from the trunks of your perennials, but cover other areas. We use it at Blue Star sometimes, and it is puts nutrients in, aerates your soil. The salt is probably what the slugs don't like. It's hard work to get the seaweed into your yard. I'm dragging it up the hill into the back of the truck and on and on. There's ways, you know, that you can control them.
But not completely eliminate
not
them.
Not completely. And there are lists of slug-resistant plants. I didn't find any that said slug-proof. You know, like your geraniums, your garlic, your chives, your Japanese or flag iris. Most of your sedum ground covers the slugs don't like. Ajuga, which is another purple and green ground cover. Hellebores. Peonies, they don't seem to like those plants. But the ones we like with all the flowers seem to be breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the slugs.
Mm-hmm. And I know I've had some really nice hostas that have just, they love them.
I think when they're young and tender, they do. In my yard, I don't have much slug damage to the hostas. And I think the crinkly-leaved ones are less appealing than the real smooth variegated ones. But and your yard will determine what slug population you can have.
And Rebecca, do you have any other slug fighting methods that you use?
I have some old kitchen knives in my garden, so sometimes I'll just stab them and toss them into the woods or into the gully next to my house. So that's nice because sometimes if you leave them there, you know, depending on how many slugs you've killed, the beetles can take care of it because a lot of ground beetles eat slugs and baby slugs and slug eggs. But if you have a lot of slugs, then it will tend to get smelly and kind of gross.
And it seems to attract other slugs, like they come to consume their friends' bodies or something. It's a rather morbid little life path.
I like the way Lee has said it before. They come to the funeral and stay for the meal afterwards. So.
Okay. And again, a reminder, this is a call-in show. If you have any questions about getting rid of invaders in your garden, or if you yourself have some tips that you found worked for you, give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And Lee, also you have animals on the list. What are some of the animals we need to worry about?
Well, I think the biggest one would be deer. And it, I don't have a deer problem, so I just talked with other people. And they say the best thing is a fence and a good sturdy fence and netting to keep the deer out. But there are some listed deer-resistant plants, which would be allium, which is in the onion family. Columbine, astilbe, and these are readily available at the nursery. And you can talk to the nursery person about what your problem is and what they can recommend. Bleeding heart, foxglove, some of your irises, epimedium, which is a darling little plant with heart-shaped leaves with red trim around the leaves in the spring. Geraniums, hellebores. I put hostas ? Even though they were listed, I'm not sure many people would agree. And peonies. The deer don't seem to like peonies. So.
And is this a problem in certain parts of town? I mean, I don't know how many deer I've seen in my neighborhood, but.
Luckily, I don't see deer, but I know, you know, half the garden club members talk about, oh, the deer ate the. And we've recently had otters come up into people's yards and eat the vegetables and the strawberries. And so if it's not this invader, it's going to be whatever's next on the list.
And I was earlier talking to Krista Bruce Kotrick and Tom Schultz were here, and I can't remember which one of them, but one of them was saying that the deer kept eating all their strawberries. And it's interesting because I just planted strawberries that are at like deer height because I got them off the ground so the slugs can't get them. But now they're like at a dinner tray deer height. So,
well, and I think you could put something like chicken wire or rabbit wire, you know, bend it and make a hoop so that they couldn't get to them. And, you know, I don't know that they're smart enough to pull that off, but if they're hungry enough, they might just keep pushing down on it until they could get to whatever's underneath there.
And are there other, do we have to worry in any way, are bears troublesome in eating plants or not really?
They might eat berries, but
cherry,
I think there's...
Cherry trees.
Cherry trees?
You have cherry trees, apple trees, any fruit tree, I think you could be at risk for having a bear problem, but...
I didn't realize people had those here. Do apple and cherry grow?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just thought it was too wet for them, but they like the rain? I guess.
They can tolerate it. I think some varieties are more tolerant than others. It just depends on what you buy. If you look for a tree with a rootstock that is, you know, more for cold or wet climates, then you'll have better success than if you get something that is really commonly grown in California or something.
And are there, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, and if you go to the Extension Office website, they have lists of trees and plants and vegetables that are best for this area, and so you can work from that list.
Okay, and how do people contact the Cooperative Extension? Is there like a
website? It's listed in the phone book under Cooperative Extension. It's under the state, and there's offices in Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, and Sitka, I think is the closest one to us. But they can get all kinds of stuff. And again, you can get that information online. I think it's USDA Extension Office. And then you just scroll through pages and pages of what you want to read about.
Okay. No, that's very helpful. I actually did call them to ask some questions, and they were very helpful.
Yes, they are
really helpful. And I kind of got directed around to the mm-hmm. right office because I wasn't sure who to call. But I didn't realize they were in the phone book. I went by some brochure I found from the Extension Office to call them.
Well, another thing, the Extension Office helps people become master gardeners. And there's a large contingent of master gardeners in town. And I don't know, do they have a website? Master Gardener website?
I'm really not sure. I know that maybe the Anchorage Master Gardeners have their own website. I don't know if there's one for all of Alaska, but I know certain cities have their own websites.
I would think that perhaps you could get a name of a person from, Rebecca and I are both master gardeners, but we're new master gardeners, and so we're experienced gardeners in Alaska, but we don't have the technical information. So, you know, I call the Forest Service and ask who their master gardener is, and they can direct you for whatever information you need.
So this is interesting. What does it mean to be a master gardener?
It means that you took the class, which is like a college botany class, and it's, I don't know, have 60 hours or so, and then you pass the test, you know, all this information, and then you donate back to the community 40 hours to get your certificate, and it's you're expected to donate at least 40 hours every year. And so it's, and whether it's workshops, helping a neighbor, whatever, it's donating back to the community.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. So again, we're talking about garden invaders, ways to deal with them. If you have any questions or you have some tips, give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. Are there smaller animals that we need to be concerned about with our gardens?
Well, I've had a vole in my yard, but it's little and it's cute and I don't seem to see damage from it. So I don't pester it. I haven't tried to get rid of it.
If you have one, I bet you have lots more.
I probably do, but I'm not seeing, it's not like a gopher where they just, you know, eat everything off at the right under the ground. But are you aware of other animals that, I mean, you have the neighbor's dog and cat that dig things up, but
that's what I was going to say.
And then you have, in the spring, you have birds that will eat like the pea seed sprout or the little radish seed sprout. But those are easy to solve problems.
Mm-hmm. And how would you solve if you have like a bird, I guess a bird thing, what you say easy to solve, what would you do?
Well, I read on Pinterest, which is a site, you know, where you can go and find out all kinds of craft project stuff. And this lady painted rocks to look like her strawberries. So she put those out in early spring. And she said that the birds would peck on the rocks. And then when the strawberries got ripe, the birds would be tired of pecking on the rocks and wouldn't bother the strawberries. So I did that last year. And I think it actually works. I mean, it helps.
That's a great idea.
And it's a fun idea. It's a good thing you can do with your kids. Paint rocks red, put green leaves on them, black dots, make them look like strawberries, and it looks pretty in your yard.
That's a clever trick.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, and some things like peas and the little birds that eat the sprouts, you just keep planting until those birds migrate, and then you can raise peas.
So peas, you're starting your peas outdoors. You aren't starting them in. Okay. And when would you plant them?
Probably, I don't know. I usually plant President's Day or spring break with my grandchildren, that kind of thing. They have flowers now. So if I planted them in March, they're ready to, almost ready to have peas coming on.
Mm-hmm. And you just said if the birds eat them, you just keep planting.
You just keep planting. Okay. Yeah, I have space in my garden for probably 2 dozen pea plants because I need to keep them in specific containers. And I just buy a package of seeds and keep planting until the birds travel through, and then there's peas available.
You can also put row covers over them if the area is fairly small. This year, I had that problem last year with the birds digging up my pea seeds. So this year I just covered the container with some plastic until they germinated and got big enough to stand their ground.
Is there something particularly attractive about the pea seeds themselves?
I think it's any seed.
Any seed.
Yeah, any seed. Like in my other part of my yard, I had them they'd just be digging around for seeds and bugs, I think, and it looked like a small dog or a cat had gotten in, but really it was just the birds digging around looking for a meal. So,
okay. And a reminder, this is a call-in show. We have probably about 6-7 minutes left. So if you're interested in getting a question in or if you have some tips, give us a call. Those numbers again, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And actually, we do have a caller on the line. We have Judith with a comment. Hi, Judith.
Hi, Maria. I had a terrible thing happen to my pea crop last year. I made the mistake of feeding my dog one of the sugar snap peas, which he loved. And then the next time he was out in the yard, he ate all of my pea plants. Right down to the roots, he ate them. So this year I had to plant them outside the fence so that he couldn't get in and munch them all up.
So that's a good warning. Don't feed them to your dog.
Yeah.
I think Calvin Trout said he had a similar problem.
Oh, okay. She had to leave us right there.
And he plants, now he and his wife plant their regular pea crop in a safe location, and then they also grow a pea crop so their dogs can get to it. So.
special planting for your pets. Have a special pet garden, I guess, if they're into that. Interesting, huh? I wouldn't even have thought that the dogs would go for the peas. But
yeah, I had a friend down south, too, that, you know, down there they grew squash outside, and it did really well, and they had a dog that would run around and take bites out of the squash, so... So pets it's, like
your
weird
pets
things
can,
sometimes.
Your pets can be an issue, can be an invader too.
They could.
Are there any other invaders that come to mind?
Those are the only ones that I focused on was the deer, the slugs, did we talk about insects?
Not the
aphids.
Yeah, aphids.
And that seems to be the biggest problem. I'm not hearing much about other insects that are causing damage?
I have some pretty bad root weevils. They look like little beetles. They come out at night. They lay their larvae in the soil, and then the adults come out at night and feed on your plants, and you can go around at night and see them. So if you see damage to your plants and you don't see the telltale slug slime, I've also seen caterpillars out at night. So just go out at night if you can, and just take a look at, you know, see if you see anything, because a lot of insects do come out at night, or caterpillars and root weevils do anyway. So
okay.
Sometimes you just need to hit a different time of day than you normally would.
Well, and there is, for something like that, you need to put something in the soil to kill them so that they don't continue eating. We have the that problem with the lilac at Blue Star, and we for several years just wiped them away. You know, we'd go and do that, and we finally bought a systemic specifically for them, and the lilac is going to survive.
And are there, you know, there's so many different ways to kill off insects that are troublesome. What are some of, I guess, the more environmentally friendly ways? I mean, obviously there's the chemical methods, but are there any environmentally friendly ways? You mentioned like vinegar or something on certain weeds or something.
Vinegar works well on dandelions. Vinegar will break down the mucus coating on slugs and kill them. If you spray it on like your aphids, you need to then spray clear water on it to get it off your plant. You can also do a vinegar leach in your soil, but again, you've got to leach that until you don't smell vinegar in your soil, because it will kill your plant.
Mm-hmm.
Insecticidal soap is very good. You can spray it on and leave it. It doesn't hurt the plant. I think, I'm not sure what the chemicals are in there. It's probably lye and fat and stuff, like in soap.
Mm-hmm.
Not like soap, older kinds of soap that are natural soaps that will help.
Okay. And do we have, again, are there any other invaders?
We could research and get back to you on other invaders.
And I guess there's a question, and I'm not sure I know what this means. Is it cutthroat snails? It says, how do you get rid of snails? Do we have snails?
We do have a few.
Your thumb.
Your foot.
Crunch.
Yeah.
Or would it be similar kind of to slug? The same.
You know,
they're salty characters too, aren't they? Or, I mean, like,
they don't have that mucus foot that they slide on like a slug. And I don't know.
I think most slug bait is geared towards slug and snails.
It says that on the label,
Yeah, and I generally use the kind that's the iron something or other that's pet friendly or neighborhood animal friendly. And what I like about that, though, is you just stick it out there and you never see their bodies. I don't know where they go to die, but but you aren't cleaning up bodies or slimy residue or anything like that. But it seems like slugs are the big thing, the biggest invader or the most troublesome.
It's the most troubled one. It's the one we see the most.
Maybe that's, it's also so visible. You know, there's maybe little bugs that are eating things or little things that are doing stuff, but the slugs, either you love them or you hate them. I found there's people who just, I love slugs, or they're so cute, or I've heard people, you know, who are very into slugs. But a lot of gardeners, it's like that's the thing to get rid of.
Well, and I mean, the amount of damage that a horde of slugs can do during one night is just amazing. You know, I've forgotten, left my basil out, and the slug went across and, you know, ate every single sprout.
Mowed the lawn down.
It did. It did.
All right. Okay, we just have like a minute or two left. So if there's anyone out there with a last comment or question, please give us a call, 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. And Rebecca Lee, do either of you have any other thoughts or advice? Or
go out and walk through your garden often and see what's happening and catch problems before they get to be overwhelming.
Okay, and any other special thoughts?
That's pretty much the same thing I was going to say.
Okay.
So
sometimes you have to go out at night, go out in the morning, different times of day, and
take your flashlight, take your preferred method of disposal, and go after them.
And then you'll have hopefully a brighter, happier garden.
Right. And again, it's a challenge. If you're enjoying your garden and are gardening this summer, pledge to KRBD.
Fabulous. Thank you for that. And yes, we are raising funds for your community radio station. So thanks again. Thank you, Rebecca Lee, for coming in and helping out. And again, if you'd like to help contribute to KRBD, all the great shows, including the gardening programs and the other things you enjoy, give us a call. 225-9655-1800-557-5723.